today on Living on Every Word.
Words are very, very powerful. And I want to ask the question, what are the decrees that people have spoken over you that you're still walking under? And I want to say, I believe that God has taken those decrees and He has nailed it to the cross so that you're no longer defined by the negative things people spoke into your life.
What are the words that have been spoken to you that have defined who you are and the eventual course for your life? In today's message, Pastor Mike Fritcher explains how the negative words or decrees we've lived under can be nullified when we live a life under Christ.
Living on every word.
We're in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And we're talking about a life under Christ. A life in Christ. Now, when we look at this passage, we begin in verse 13, when you were dead in your transgressions and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Now, last week we saw that when you're in Christ, you're alive. You're not dead anymore. And you're alive to the things of God. And this life is abundant. This life is exciting. This life is adventurous. This life is a life of being conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, it has relevance and it is real and it is a life that is truly alive. You are in Christ, you are alive. The second thing that we saw last week, that you have been forgiven of all your transgressions. Everything that you've ever done, everything that defined you, everything that placed you in this world, it has been done away with. You are forgiven. Your past is forgiven. Do you believe that today? You're forgiven. The third thing we saw last week, which is the next verse of Scripture, is that He canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The decrees of the law of God and the decrees and the words that have been spoken against us all our lives have been taken away, nailed to the cross, and done away with, those things that were hostile toward us. Last week we spoke of the law of God. And I think about this whole thought of who we are apart from Christ and who we are in Christ. And the decrees that were spoken against us were decrees that said, you are a sinner, and you are guilty, and you need Christ. Christ comes along, and those decrees that were once against us and hostile to us have been taken out of the way. And therefore, a couple of things. You are no longer the same. You are no longer labeled by the law or the enemy. The things that defined you in your sinfulness and in your darkness no longer defines you. It no longer labels you because you are a new man and a new woman in Christ Jesus. You're no longer the same. Now, I think about a man named St. Augustine, a church father in church history. He was a bishop in North Africa a few hundred years after Christ. Before he came to Christ, he was a hellion. He was a fornicator. He was immoral. He was a drunkard, partier. He was a man of the world. His mother was a believer, and his mother prayed for him daily. And he came to Christ, and his life was changed. Stories told in one of his biographies that as he's walking down the street, he hears a familiar feminine voice. Augustine. Augustine. He knows who it is. It's a former mistress in his old life. And he's walking and he's ignoring. And she says, Augustine, Augustine, it's I, Augustine. And he turned around and he said, it is no longer Augustine. You may be the same, but I'm no longer the same. Why? Because Christ has touched my life, changed my life. He has come into my heart, and I'm no longer what you thought I was. I am no longer that man. Therefore, I will no longer be labeled as a man who runs around, who is a carouser, a man who sleeps with other men's wives. I am no longer a drunkard. I am no longer a partier. I am no longer the same. God has changed me, and I will not be labeled by what culture says I am forever. I am no longer that man. I am changed. If there are some of you in here that have been thieves and you've come to Christ, isn't it great that you're no longer labeled as a thief? If you're a drunkard and you've come to Christ and you're no longer a drunkard, isn't it nice that you're no longer labeled as a drunkard? Amen? Isn't it great that if you have had sinful, immoral indiscretions and you have walked in fornication and you've walked in adultery and you've come to Christ and you are no longer labeled as that? The gods of this world will say, yes, you are still that, and you still be defined by that and still defined by your past behavior and your past failures. You are no longer the same, no longer labeled. The decree said you were. Christ came and wiped that decree away. Second, you're no longer condemned. You're no longer condemned. Go to Zechariah chapter 3, if you would. Zechariah chapter 3. Verse 1. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not Joshua a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. And he spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, remove the filthy garments from him. Again he said, see, I've taken your iniquity away from you and will clothe you with festal robes. And then I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments while the angel of the Lord was standing by. Joshua, the high priest. Now, in the law, there are rules by which the high priest is to enter into the Holy of Holies once a year to make sacrifice for the atonement of the sins of Israel. And he's supposed to be spotless. He's not supposed to have one speck of dust on his robes. They're to be totally white. Totally clean. And here he is, standing before God. He is in filthy robes. Filthy robes. Dirty robes. And Satan is doing what? He is wanting to accuse. He is wanting to place the decree on him that he has broken the law. Therefore, he must be condemned. Satan, the accuser of the brethren. Satan, the one who will remind you what you did or what you didn't do. Satan, the accuser who is ready to heap judgment, condemnation upon you. And God comes along and he says, the Lord rebuke you. I've plucked this brand out of the fire. And not only that, but I've said, remove the filth from him. Remove his filthy garments. Remove his iniquity. I have taken his iniquity away. Put clean robes, festal robes upon him, and put a clean turban on his head because he's the brand plucked from the fire. Were we not all brands plucked from the fire of hell? But folks, he just doesn't pick you up. And you stop burning. He picks you up and he clothes you with the robes of righteousness, the robes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he washes your sin white as snow. Will you believe it today? You're no longer condemned. The third thing is that you're no longer under the word of death. You're no longer under the word of death. We saw last week about this certificate of debt, the decrees that have been spoken of us. And we talked about no more condemnation, no more guilt. There's now a chance at life. When the enemy says, no redemption for you, we know we don't live under that word, that God canceled out the debt and took away the decree that said, a forever destiny in hell, forever bondage. You can't be changed. You'll always be what you are. You'll always be the adulterer. You'll always be known as the foreigner. You'll always be known as the town drunk. You'll always be known as it. You'll always be defined by these things, and you will always owe. And according to the Scripture, the Word says, listen, this debt, this certificate of debt has been canceled, and the decrees that have been spoken of you have been taken out of the way. The decrees hostile towards you. We saw that last week as far as the law was concerned. The law, weak as it was, could not save us, but what the law could not do, Jesus Christ did, and He came and He saved us. The law that exposed us and told us who we were, but Christ comes along and saves us and says, you're no longer that way. But there's another aspect of the decrees spoken against us that I want to talk to you about today. That's the decrees of words that have been spoken over many of your lives by your father or your mother or by people in your life. Decrees, things that have been said. Because I tell you this, words are very, very powerful. Believe it or not, they have shaped all of us in one way or another. And you know, I look at the passage of Scripture in Proverbs 18:21 on the screen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And then in James chapter 3, go on and turn there with me. James chapter 3, the most definitive passage of Scripture on the tongue and the things we say. They're powerful. They shape us. They affect us. James chapter 3, verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Now we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Verse 3, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so great, are driven by strong winds and are still directed by a very small rudder whenever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. The course of our life. The first thought that I come to is this tongue, your tongue will affect you personally. Okay? It's the first thing. Your tongue, what you say, will affect you in a personal way, a very personal way. As a matter of fact, in this scripture it says, it sets on fire the course of our life by the things that we say and the things that we speak. It affects you personally. Keep this place marked for just a moment and go to Matthew chapter 12, if you would. Matthew chapter 12. Notice the power of your words. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. First of all, your words are going to reveal who you are. And so, he says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. In other words, what you've said this week are things that are in your heart. And you may speak something and say, well, I didn't really mean that, but I want to tell you, it was in your heart. Your mouth speaks what's in your heart. Very, very important principle. It reveals what's there. It reveals what's in your life. He says, the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. And I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. The tongue affects you personally. It sets the course of your life on fire. The things that you say. If you'll go just a couple of pages forward to Matthew chapter 15, verse 15. Verse 17, I'm sorry. Matthew 15, verse 17. Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those things defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. Out of the heart and from the mouth comes murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and slanders. These are the things which defile the man. Words are very, very powerful. They will affect you, but they'll also affect others. And you have been affected by other people's words. You've been defiled by your own words. You've been defiled by the people who have spoken over you. Who have spoken over you. When you look at this passage in James, he'll go on and he'll say, for every species of beast, verse 7, we're back in James, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine tree produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh? No, these things ought not be. With it we bless God, and with it we curse men. Your tongue will affect who you are, but your tongue also can affect other people's lives. You've heard my testimony before. When I was 10 years old, when I walked into a haunted house and a woman read my palm. I had just turned 10 days before. It's the same time in my life that God began to stir my heart for the very first time about preaching or pastoring or some sort of ministry. And yet, at 10 years old, I live on a block in Metairie, Louisiana, where there's about 30 kids from the age of, preschool to teenagers. And at the end of the block, there was a family who had, three or four teenage sons that always put on this haunted house. And I never went to that haunted house because I was kind of a nervous kid. Didn't like to be scared. Didn't like scary movies. I was the kind of guy that stayed up at night thinking about the thing that I heard or I saw. So I never went into this haunted house. Didn't think fun houses were fun. Okay. Didn't like that kind of stuff. But I'm 10 years old and I think I'm going to go to this haunted house. And so I go up to the entrance of this haunted house, which is the gate to the backyard. And there's a lady there reading palms. I'd never seen anything like this before. And so I put my hand out and she says, "You're a small boy." Look at that. How does she know that? "You dress nice. You're the nervous sort." And that line right there is your lifeline, and it's short, and you're going to die young. Now, I went through the haunted house that night, and I remember going over to the street lamp, which was close to this corner house, and I remember looking at my palm that she, and I said, "Yeah, that is short." And, you know, I'm a small boy, dress nice, and she was right about that, so she must be right about that. And so I tucked that thing into my heart and walked away that night, already with a propensity to fear, already a nervous sort, already kind of high strung, already having kinds of dreams and visions for my life, even as a 10-year-old. And I walked away from there that day under the word of this woman, this stranger. Stranger spoke something over my life, and I received it. And I grew up fearful. Now, I mean, not uncontrollable, but I want to tell you something. When I was 23 years old, right before we moved from Houston to go to seminary, my best friend named Michael Herod died of cancer. And I spent the last week of his life with him. And we watched him die. And he died, and we moved up to Fort Worth, and I started developing a little low-grade temperature intermittent, and I thought I was dying because I'm supposed to die young. I'm 23 years old, and I really believed by the time I was 30, I'd be dead. And on occasion, my father would often say, well, not often, just on occasion, "Fritcher men die young." And in 1986, I began to ask God, "What is this? What is this?" And in the midst of that, again, I was refreshed about the woman who spoke this word over me. A stranger spoke a word over me that I tucked in my heart and believed and was defined as, at least very heavily, in my mid-20s. of all the nice things my parents and all the nice things that my Sunday school teachers, church people, church friends had spoken on me, and yet I was living under the bondage of a word spoken over me as a 10-year-old. A decree. You'll die young. Well, through a series of events in 1987, I get set free from it. And I no longer would choose to walk under the word that was spoken to me as a 10-year-old, but under my great God. Do you see how powerful the tongue is? Do you see how impressionable you and I can become? I'm 27 years old, and yes, I've been nurtured, and I believe I know where I'm going, and I have a good marriage, but there's one area in my life that's been defined by a woman in 1969 on Halloween night. It was a decree that I received, false as it might have been. It was a decree that I walked under. And I want to ask the question, what are the decrees that people have spoken over you that you're still walking under? The things that we speak into our children's lives. The decrees. What has been spoken over you that is still labeling you and defining you and defining your emotions and your days day by day? My Bible says that you are alive, that your transgressions have been forgiven, and the certificate of debt and the decrees that spoke against you, they've been taken out of the way. The decrees hostile to you. Some of us are still 8, 9, and 10-year-old boys in grown-up bodies that need to catch up. And you know what? I was 27 years old. And in one moment, I'm a 10-year-old boy fearing death. And the next moment, I'm a 27-year-old man. And that little 10-year-old boy is gone. No longer defined me. That is the power of this living under Christ. But it's also the power of the spoken word. A word that just kind of condemns that child. Oh, he's just moody. He'll always be moody. And he's always moody. You know, he'll always be a liar. And he's always a liar. You'll always be a thief. And he's always a thief. He's just like that. He's just wired that way. He's just the bad seed. He's just the black sheep. And he gets defined. He gets labeled by the decree of his father or his mother or his grandfather. Words affect. They destroy. They seed thought into folks' minds and hearts, and they grow. What are the decrees? What are the things that in this message right now, all of a sudden some things are making sense to you about what people said and what people spoke and how you've lived according to their word instead of living according to what the Word of God says? What are the things that have been hostile in your life that has been spoken against you? And it could have been very innocently. The woman didn't know what she was doing. It was just all make-believe. That's how powerful the word can be. That's how powerful it can form you. Our God took those decrees that were hostile against you and took it out of the way. That's a life under Christ. The question is, will I believe that today and choose by an act of my will according to the power of God and the faith that we have in Christ to say, no longer will I live under that woman's word, that man's word, that teacher's word, my mother, my father, my grandmother, my grandfather. No longer will I live under that decree. Because I have a new set of decrees. I'm forgiven. I'm free. I'm alive. No longer led and bound by the words that were spoken over me. That means that there must be a greater accountability in what I say and how I speak. Because we can say some very stupid things to others. And they walk away, and they may not be devastated, but they're hurt. And all of a sudden, there's something that's seeded in their lives because of what the preacher said, or what my sister said, or what my brother said, or what my brother-in-law said, or what my nephew said, or what anybody has said in your life. What are the decrees?
that God nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago that you're still living under? What are they? I can't define those for you. I can only define mine for me. But what are they in your life? What are they? Because our God said, I nailed that to the cross. I nailed it to the cross. I nailed it. But there's another thought in Colossians of taking these decrees away. And go back and we'll finish up. Colossians chapter 2. In Christ and under Christ, you're alive. You're forgiven. The certificate of debt and the decrees that were spoken against you, that were hostile toward you, have been taken out of the way, having been nailed to the cross. Notice it. Verse 14. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, it's been taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now look at verse 15. When He had disarmed the rulers and authorities. He's not talking about Pilate. He's talking about demonic entities. He's talking about rulers and authorities. And He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. If you're in Christ, you are alive. You are forgiven. Your debt has been canceled. The decrees have been nailed against the cross. And God has disarmed the enemy in your life. He's been disarmed. Let that sink in for a moment. A life under Christ means that He's disarmed the enemy. He's disarmed him. He no longer has the weapons at His disposal. He's weaponless for you and for me. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? A couple of things. Are you still living under 10-year-old decrees about your life? Are you still being defined by what the law says, or by what the enemy says, or by what someone else has said about you? Is your behavior connected with the words that people spoke of you as a child? Negative things. Have you been told, oh, you'll always be an alcoholic. You'll always be depressed. You'll never get a handle over worry. You'll always be moody. You'll always be negative. It's just you. What are the decrees that have been hostile toward you that you need to grow up today to the fullness and the completeness of Christ that word says in Colossians? Because I want to tell you this, if you've not, then you're speaking the same things on other people's lives. You're speaking on your children's lives and other people's children's lives. You're speaking the negative things. Because you can't help it. Because you know what? What fills the heart comes out of the mouth. Can't tame the tongue. So what Christ comes to do is change the heart. Do you need a heart change today? What is it that God has spoken to you about in this service? Would you embrace the Word and obey what God's calling you to obey? And if simply maybe just saying in my seat, Lord, no longer will I be defined by this. Or may I need to see Mike, I need to see somebody this week, and I need some help to get through this. Because I'm still living under the same things I lived under as a child. I don't know how God's speaking to you, but my prayer is, more than anything this morning, is you'll see how powerful words are and how powerful the tongue is, and to come to this place to say, thank you, Lord, for nailing the decrees to the cross and taking them out of the way.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.